Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hi there, many thanks for joining us for the Racing Post Football Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and I'm joined this week by Dan Childs and Liam Flynn from the Racing Post Football Desk, as well as Paddy Power's Wizard of Odds, Jason Murphy, to bring you all the best bets for FA Cup fourth round weekend. Loads and loads of live football. We will also look at the best bets in the league games and in Europe. We'll have the naps. But first of all, though, we need to reflect on a really fascinating midweek round of matches in the Premier League, which has left us in a situation where Liverpool play Wolves tonight. They're absolutely miles clear. If anyone hasn't paid out on Liverpool, they should do, because that's all done. But there's some intriguing situations elsewhere. Only 11 points separate 5th to 19th, which is just incredible. There's such a cluster. So we're going to have a look at some of the markets. We're going to look and see if there's any value in top half, bottom half, because there's so many teams vying for those positions. We'll also have a look at who we think is going to go down. And first of all, let's have a look at who is most likely to be the next manager to go. Now, this time last week, we sat here and looked at it and we thought the 10 to 1 no manager to go was decent value. But Ollie might still be at the wheel, but his grip on it is loosening, isn't it, Jason? What's the latest sack race betting from Paddy Power?
Yeah, so we've Ollie in as favourite now at 8 to 11. You've Dean Smith 5 to 1, Eddie Howe 11 to 2. No manager is now 8, and then Daniel Farke at 20s. We've a really good in-play specials team here, so we always keep this market up in play. So what we've seen with United last night is when they start looking like they're getting a bad result, the bets will come in. So it was 15 to 2 prior to the match last night. We cut him into 3 to 1 at 1-0. Bets were coming. We had him in at 8 to 11, then at 2-0 and at full time. I think he's in a very precarious position. And the 8 to 11, I think, is possibly still a bit of value.
Well, you're a Man U fan. I mean, give us your non-neutral view on it. Because, I mean, it was an absolutely revolting display, wasn't it?
For me, it's always about the process and not just one result in isolation. So if you look at the game last night, United had chances before Burnley scored. Mata should have scored. It hits his standing leg. He doesn't finish with his bad foot. Martial, it's a bad first touch that stops him getting away the shot, where, you know, United should have been ahead before Burnley scored, and Burnley only had two shots on target in the game. But for me, and I've always said it, the worst thing that's happened to United was getting that penalty against PSG. Ferdinand gets ridiculed with that video. He's what he said in the studio afterwards. And Ferdinand went on about, you have to give him the job because of the run of results that he's getting. Now, I think there's two problems with United, and it's all at the board level. At the time, I can understand why they gave him the job. But if it was a Liverpool football club and the board of directors that they have in, they would have looked at that run of form and said, he's riding a wave here. He's getting a serious run of luck. Because on that run, we bet Tottenham with a Rashford goal outside the box, didn't deserve the win. We bet Leicester in that run, we didn't deserve it. And we were actually 2-0 down at home to Burnley as well in that run and got a 2-2. Whereas if that had been a Burnley win a year ago, we're probably having a different conversation back then about Solskjaer and not talking about this great run. Now, for me, again, it's about the process, and I don't see enough of a process there from Solskjaer. Now, yes, you have to give someone time, but given the time he's in the job and what I've seen so far, I'd be quite happy to rip it all up and start again and just bring in Poch or Allegri if he was interested, because I don't think Solskjaer, if he is going to be successful, is too far down on that road of that project of success, and I'd rather give it to someone with more of a proven track record at this stage. Well, that's up to the board to decide that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dan, I mean, you know, you're talking Pochettino and Allegri. Yeah. The Man U job, they're still the biggest club in the world and all that, but you're not taking, you know, countless people have tried to revive the Fergie days and failed. You know, I mean, Pochettino's obviously a vast improvement on Solskjaer, but could even he turn this around?
I think what the new manager, if it was Pochettino, would be asking, it's not so much about how much wages that you're going to be given. It's what is going to change in terms of the recruitment. Am I going to be able to, you know, is a director of football worth his salt going to be brought in? Because that's been the problem with Manchester United over the last 6-7 years, is the recruitment has been absolutely hopeless. They've been paying sort of top dollar for guys like Alexis Sanchez towards the end of their career, and it's Rooney got a massive contract, didn't he? you know, about a year before he was finally let go. You know, the list goes on. Fred's playing a little bit better now, but it still doesn't look worth what they paid for him. But no, that is the issue, is the recruitment there. And
so do you think that Solskjaer will go sooner rather than later, or will they limp on to the summer?
I think they should look to replace him. It all depends on who's to come in. But you think, can it get actually a lot worse than it is at the moment? You look at... I mean, we talked there about how they played before Burnley scored, but my issue would be, I watched the game and the lack of the response after going 1-0 down and then 2-0 down. I mean, we talked about the last couple of seasons, Burnley had gone 2 up and Man United have fought back. And there's even been a fading of their performance in the last year, if you like, because they went 2-0 down and they never really looked like getting back into it. And there was just a sheer lack of quality. Confidence was an issue as well, but... you just couldn't really see where the goal was going to come from.
And a big issue for them now, Dan, is that De Gea was bailing them out. I mean, basically, he started losing his magic back end of last season, and that's largely continued. You know, I'd say two or three years ago, he was, you know, when they finished second, that was all down to him. He was just an absolute brick wall. But it's not happening anymore.
There's a few other players. I mean, Lukaku, as much as the criticism he got, he did guarantee you a certain amount of goals this season. You look now and Rashford, he's had a really good season for him, and that's given him a big boost. And then suddenly you take him out the side, and who's going to get the goals? I mean, you just can't see where they're going
to
come from.
So is 8-11 value then, Dan?
8-11 value for
to be the next man out.
To be the next man out, I would say no, because you look at the past history with United, they don't seem to be particularly decisive, do they? With managerial changes. I mean, they let the Solskjaer, situation carry on, and then eventually appointed him, and there just seems to be a state of inertia again there now. I just think they're going to think, well, we're still, within touching distance of Chelsea, let's see how it goes.
And Liam, I guess the other issue is, if you are Pochettino, you might have thought, well, look, when I get, I've gone from Tottenham, but I know I can pretty much wander into Man United whenever the phone rings. Does he actually want to wander into Man United now? Or is he looking at, what's happening in Spain and some of the bigger clubs on the continent?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. Like you say, I still think Man United have that pull factor. They still have that reputation. And I don't think there's a massive amount for him to lose if he goes into United, in the sense of where they are now. They can't, they can't deteriorate much more than they already have done under Solskjaer this season. I think I saw this morning there's something like 1-6 to get their lowest ever points total in the Premier League now, which is about 64. So... and they'll have to do tremendously well in the sort of latter part of the season to reach that tally. I think the problem with Solskjaer, just performances, it's not only results, performances haven't been good enough. And the big thing with the managers like Pep Guardiola, like Jurgen Klopp, the top managers in Europe, they improve players when they come to the club. That hasn't been the case at Manchester United for a long time. Big name players are coming in for a lot of money, and they're not improving. I mean, I think you look at the players they brought last summer. I mean, Maguire and Wan-Bissaka, they've probably been some of their better players this season, but they haven't drastically improved on what they were already like beforehand. I know, obviously, we're not in for a full season yet, but I just think it's a case of not improving personnel that are coming in. It's probably a bit of lack of man management, and performances just week after week are not impressive. And I think it was only a matter of time. I think the fans are now properly, well and truly fed up. And
Is there a bet in the sack race then?
I'd still go Solskjaer.
Solskjaer.
I said it on this podcast a couple of weeks ago, Solskjaer would be my bet, and I'd stick with that now.
Okay, let's...
I would say, because he's so short, I would say there's value elsewhere. And the big, big pressure is always at the towards the bottom of the table. And managers who you think are kind of bomb-proof often end up going when a team's in trouble. And I looked at the fixtures. I think Bournemouth are playing Villa coming up soon. Whoever loses that game out of Dean Smith and Eddie Howe is under huge pressure.
No, yeah, but they are to an extent, Dan. But because it's so close down the bottom there, you can actually lose a couple and you're not suddenly exposed, you know. But we're going to talk about relegation now. And before we talk about our three to go... take us through the relegation prices, Jason. I mean, this changes drastically week to week, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, just off the back of one round of fixtures. But at the moment, we've Norwich 1-16, we've Bournemouth 4-5, Villa 10-11, Watford 15-8, West Ham 2-1, and Brighton 7-2.
I'll start with you, because I mean, I'm not prepared to just say we can assume Norwich are down. I'm sorry, they keep performing well against decent sides. They did it again last night. They gave Spurs a fright. I'd rather trust a team that can score goals to learn to defend than a team that can't score to suddenly start scoring. They're adrift, but they're not. They're 6 points away from 17th. I think the market's assuming too much with Norwich, okay? So that's yet another fascinating aspect to this.
I don't think they're gone. I think what the issue that they're going to have is that it's 6 points, you think two wins, but because you've got to get above three other teams, you know, a couple of those teams in those four games, the way the league's going, are probably going to pick a couple of wins up. So you almost need four wins in a row just to get yourself out. And that is, when you've won five games all season, that's tough.
Okay, Dan, I'm going to ask all three of you, which three teams are going to go? And we're looking at value here rather than who are the worst three teams, in your opinion,
obviously. Yeah, I mean, the Brighton price does stand out, but just simply because, you know, they are in the thick of it. They're on 25 points now, 7-2. It does seem overpriced. So I have to say, whenever I watch them, I like the way they play. I watched the highlights of the game against Bournemouth and I thought, how on earth did they lose that game? You know, so I don't think they'll go down, but you'd have to say, looking at the points, a little bit overpriced. Gut feeling is it will be Norwich, Villa and Bournemouth. That's how I think it will go.
Yeah, it might be a bit boring, but Norwich, Villa and Bournemouth definitely for me. I just can't see past those three.
It's very hard to be that.
I think, it's tight down there, don't get me wrong. And I think if you were looking at maybe a value bet, you could argue West Ham because of the fixture, having to play Liverpool home and away, etc. But just over the course of the season, Villa, I don't think they've solved their striker problem. With Wesley out, they brought in Samata from Gonk or whatever. And at this stage of the season, the kind of player you want to be bringing in is a tried and tested forward who's got Premier League experience, not someone who's been mediocre, okay, in Belgium. And then, looking at Bournemouth, I mean, I tipped them the other week and to go down, and my mind's not really changed. I know Brooks coming back will be a big boost for them, but I just still think in that Brighton game, I don't think they were, you know, completely convincing. I don't think there's enough sort of defensive resolve in that team to keep them up.
I know Jason's got a thought and he's not messing about. He's got a big price for us. Away you go, Jason. Yeah. We'll still be friends afterwards, mate.
Yeah, I'm going with Palace, but first of all, I'd agree exactly with what Dan has said. It's just they have to put a bit of a run together to get ahead of three other teams in the league for Norwich. I really like Daniel Farke and his honesty and the fight that Norwich are showing. But I think Bournemouth and Villa will go as well. But if you think someone else is going to slip in, and because it's anti-post with still about half a season to go, I would rather back something with a bit of value. So I'm tipping up Palace, we're 10-1. There's 20s out there on them. If you look at Palace, just really are on a bad run of form. They've won five, I think, in the last 21 games, but they are a bit of six-pointer specialists. The five wins that they got was twice against West Ham, Aston Villa, Bournemouth, and Norwich, so and Burnley as well. So like when they win the games, it's against the teams around them, which is really helping. I'd also put in Newcastle as well. Newcastle are 7 points clear at the moment, but they've taken 4 points from their last two games, and I think we would agree that it was a late winner when Chelsea probably should have won on Saturday night. And they got a point at Everton that, all things being equal, they really shouldn't have got when they were 2-0 down going into injury time. So I think Newcastle and Palace at the bigger prices for an anti-post bet is where I'd put a bit of value or a bit of an interest bet.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. Just very quickly, top half, bottom half, which is one of those markets that chugs along and no one really pays much attention. But this year, it's big, like I say, because of that logjam in the middle of the table, there's potential for value here. So do you want to give some top half betting, Jason?
Yeah, 2 seconds, sir. We'll just pull it up for you. So top half betting, we'd start with Sheffield United at 4-9. We've Everton 4-7, Southampton 6-5, Palace 11-4, Burnley 11-4, Newcastle 11-2, Brighton 9-1, Watford 20-1, West Ham 20-1, and then you're out to 66s for Bournemouth and Villa.
Any thoughts on that, Liam?
I think Southampton odds against, definitely, to make top half. I mean,
just to butt in there, you're a lot shorter than other firms. I think I've seen nearer 2-1 elsewhere.
Well, yeah, so absolutely. I'd definitely be going on that. I've just been, performances levels have been really good since that, obviously that humiliating defeat against Leicester completely turned it around. And as we were just saying beforehand, I think that just shows, you know, sometimes there are benefits to sticking with a manager through the difficult times, and that's what's happened with Hasenhüttl at Southampton.
Any value for you, Jason? Top half or indeed bottom half?
Yeah, like you alluded to there, so we have an opinion there that we think Southampton are probably better than what the market currently rates them. So we'd have Southampton 6-5, but checking there this morning, they're 6-4 out there. And then on the inverse of that, if you're saying Southampton top half, who's going to follow the bottom half? So we'd be Sheffield United 6-4 to finish bottom half, but there's actually 12-5 out there. I think with Chris Wilder's team, it's been a phenomenal season, but you can't help but see players switch off once they've secured safety. As good as Chris Wilder and the team is, I could see them possibly not being as good for the last 7 or 8 games of the season and possibly just slipping into the bottom half.
Jason, are Sheffield United defying the numbers, or are they deserving exactly the success they've had?
Deserving it, 100%. We thought Norwich won the championship last year, but we had Leeds and Sheffield United rated better than them. Sheffield United's defensive record last season was phenomenal. They conceded less goals versus the 46 games that they played, like, and they've continued on. So we were happy with the opinion we had at the start of the season. But yeah, even with us having a good opinion of them, they have surpassed it a bit as well. But fully deserve everything, all success they're getting at the moment.
Jolly good. Any top 10, bottom 10 thoughts, Dan Childs?
Yeah, I mean, firstly, I would completely echo those, the two tips there, of Sheffield bottom half being value and Southampton top half. One other I'd throw in would be Everton bottom half. I know they're just in the bottom half at the moment. They tend to get overrated, I think, by the markets. And also, I think their fixtures, they've got a lot of the big teams sort of like right towards the end of the season. They've not actually played their second games against many of the big six yet. So that's the reason for Everton.
OK, let's move on to the FA Cup, which reaches the fourth round stage this weekend. And I've got to say this, and I don't want to be negative ninny here, but when the draw was done, my first conclusion was that if you were trying to pull these 33 teams out and pair them in the most boring, unappealing way imaginable, you could not have done a better job. It is almost freakish. Don't get me wrong, there's some good ties, but my goodness, there's no real showstoppers. And so anyway, we'll see what the lads, I've got that off my chest. We'll see what the lads fancy in the televised games and indeed the non-televised. We'll quickly get some outright thoughts first. Jason, how do Paddy Power bet on the FA Cup?
Yeah, so similar to prior to the third round, we have a strong opinion on Man City and Liverpool, and we're staying a bit shorter. So Man City 15-8, Liverpool 7-2, but you'll get best price with us on any other Premier League team left in the draw. So that's 10-1 Tottenham, 10-1 Chelsea, 12-1 Leicester, 12-1 Arsenal, 14-1 United, with 40s on West Ham, 50 on Newcastle, and then 66 Sheffield United and Southampton.
Right, who wins the FA Cup this year? Very quickly, Jason.
Liverpool.
Okay, that was quick. Dan?
I'll go for my main one. I'll go with Arsenal. I just think they are improving under Arteta, and I think that could carry on. Not got Champions League commitments. No, they've got the Europa League, but I don't think that necessarily distracts you as much. A couple of real big prices. When you think that Millwall were like penalties away from getting to the semi-finals last season, that Martin mistake, didn't it, against Brighton, cost them getting there. QPR, you know, a Championship team to score a lot of goals. Got Sheffield Wednesday at home in the fourth round, 250-1. You know, I just don't think it's beyond the realms that they could have a run. And I didn't hear Watford's name mentioned there, so it must be bigger than 66s. If their second string wins at Tranmere, I think their first 11, looking at Man United against Burnley the other night, I'll have a very good chance of getting through that tie, and then they could be runners, so Watford as well.
And Liam?
Yeah, main tip would be Tottenham, not the easiest of fourth ties, fourth round tie away to Southampton, but I think the squad of their capability, I mean, last season, obviously, they went to the Champions League final, finished in the top four, so they know about juggling a top four pursuit with cup duties. Mourinho has won the Premier domestic cup competition in every country that he's managed in, and when he was with United, he won the League Cup and the Europa League, so he's very good in these kind of competitions.
And he'll put a strong
And he'll put a strong team out. And yeah, just generally, I like the look of Tottenham at around, was it 10-1, I think. A bigger price, you might like the look of Sheffield United. I know we just talked about them. If the foot does come off the pedal in the Premier League once they secure safety, the FA Cup might turn their attention to that. And they've shown this season that they can mix it with the big boys. So I think they could be overpriced as well.
Lovely. The first of the live FA Cup fourth round ties is at 8 p.m. on Friday night. It's on BT Sport. It's what's it called? Not Northampton. Six Fields, isn't it?
Six Fields.
Yeah, Six Fields. Yeah. Anyway, it's Northampton versus Derby. Will there be a shock here, Jason? How did Paddy Power bet?
We've 16-5 Northampton, the draw 13-5, and Derby 5-6.
And Dan, away you go. First tip of the postcast, who are we going to go for?
I'll go with Derby here at a shade of odds on. If you're looking for a bit of a form line, in the first round of the EFL Cup, they were drawn away to Scunthorpe in League Two as well, won that game 1-0. Picked a kind of a second string side there. They're going to be stronger, I would expect, for the FA Cup. They're unbeaten in six games. Four of them have been since Wayne Rooney's come in, so he's given them a boost, a little bit of a boost in terms of a spark for the team, and he's playing well for them as well. Had the 1-0 win, I'll have to mention it, at Crystal Palace in the last round. Good result for them. Got Waghorn's goals up front, Huddleston, Holmes and Rooney. There's a lot of quality in midfield there. I think it'd be too much for Northampton. Northampton as well played on Tuesday, so they've had a more of a tricky build-up. Drew 1-1 at Leighton Orient, and they lost a key centre-back in that game, Scott Wharton, who's on loan from Blackburn. He was sent off towards the end of the game, so he'll be suspended. That breaks up their back three, which is important to them, because their back three, Charlie Goode, Scott Wharton and Jordan Turnbull, have played together for the last 10 games, big part of their team. So Northampton a little bit weakened by that derby for me.
Brilliant. Great research, Liam.
Yes, I'd echo that exactly. Yeah, not being the season Derby fans necessarily wanted, but as Dan pointed out, unbeaten in the last six, won four of those. They limited Hull to just one shot on target last time out. Keith Curl said this week, actually, after that Leighton Orient game, he was reluctant to rest players for that game with this one in mind. He wanted to put strong sides out for both matches, so maybe an element of fatigue in this game. I just think they're too weak at the back to cope with a team with Derby's attacking strength. They were without a clean sheet in their last four games, have conceded against Burton, Salford, Morecambe and Leighton Orient. So of a player that the players that Derby have going forwards, I think they should have too much.
Jason, you're going to roam in with the lads, or do you sense an upset?
It's possible there'll be an upset Friday night cup game, televised. Identical records, really, between these two teams. For if you look at the both are unbeaten in their last six, winning four. If you look in the last round, both won away from home against opposition in the league above them. And if you look at the last 12 games for each club, the both have only kept two clean sheets. What I'm going for here is both teams to score, like I said, only two clean sheets is all they've kept in their last 12 games. And it's an FA Cup game. So like, if one team is leading with 20 minutes to go, then it's on the other team to go and try and get an equaliser. So I think both teams to score at 8-11 is a bet. And I'm going to tip up an anytime goal scorer, Jason Knight. He's Irish, he's 18. He's captained the Irish underage team. He's a regular in the Derby team now, having started the last eight league games. He was on the bench against Palace in the last round. But since Rooney has come, he's actually played further forward. He plays in the tree behind the striker. He's three goals in his last four appearances. He's 7-2 any time. So if he starts, he's worth a bet. And this lad is one for his future. He's a leader. By all accounts, he's the kind of lad that he won't be afraid to give Rooney a bit of a bollocking if he's not shifting his way or pulling his way for the team. So one to watch. But yeah, looking forward to the Friday night cup game. It should be good.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Okay, looking forward also to Brentford versus Leicester. We'll do that next.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. English Manager of the Year three times, special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games, not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. If there is an intriguing fourth round tie, I suspect it's the one that takes place on Saturday lunchtime, 12:45 at Griffin Park. Brentford versus Leicester. It's on BBC One. This should be really interesting. And Jason, how do Paddy Power bet on it?
Yeah, currently we have Brentford 3-1. We have the draw 13-5, and Leicester 5-6.
Liam, this will be interesting, won't it? I guess the first question is, who's going to pick what sort of team?
Yeah, I imagine, Rodgers has actually tended to go for quite a strong side in cup competitions, as recent history suggests. So I think both will be putting out quite strong sides to this. I think Leicester will be wanting to go for the FA Cup this season. But really,
they're in a position, aren't they, Liam, where they're not going to win the league. They know that. And all right, they are going to be hell-bent on a Champions League, which is by no means safe. But I think at this stage, he can afford, can't he?
He can.
To have a go. Yeah. Because in actual fact, if you look, with the winter break coming up as well, there's not that many Premier League games coming up.
No, the hardest period of the season is over with now in terms of sort of the December period. So there's definitely that element to it. But that said, the bet I do like to look of is Brentford draw, double chance in this one, shade of odds on. I've just been so impressed by Brentford this season. It's obviously their last season at Griffin Park, so it'd be fantastic for them if they could get promoted, start a Premier League season at their new stadium. We'll see, a long way to go yet, but they've just been particularly good at home this season. Their home record is played 13, won 8, drawn 3, lost 2, 25 goals scored, only 9 conceded. I think Ollie Watkins is just an absolute revelation for them. He's been particularly brilliant this season. If they don't go up, I suspect he could be on the move in the summer, but he's bagged 18 goals in the championship this season. If they go full strength, which I suspect they will, then I think he could be a value first goal scorer bet potentially. Like I say, the Foxes would love a cup run, but I don't know. There is obviously the midweek exertion, so there's a potential there might be a couple of changes to this Leicester team. And with how good Brentford have been at home this season, I think there could be an upset.
Okay. By the way, that championship's getting interesting, isn't it? The Chasers have made the catch on the front, yeah. So haven't they? We'll talk about that another week, probably next week when the league action resumes. Okay, Jason, what's your view on Brentford versus Leicester?
Yeah, I'd be echoing everything that Liam said there, and I'd be looking to side with Brentford once the lineups are known. Brentford, since getting promoted to the Championship the last five seasons, they've always finished in the top half, but only made the playoff once. But they're a Premier League team in the making, and they actually have the best goal difference in the Championship currently, plus 23. And if you look at the last 20 games in the Championship, they would be top of the table. So Brentford are heading in the right direction. They do have a big game midweek against Notts Forest, and they did go with almost a B-side in the last round, so I'll just wait for team news on Brentford. But if they're anything near full strength, and if Watkins is on the pitch, then Brentford at 3-1 I take. Odds against, I take the double chance. Or Ollie Watkins, I take him at 6-1. I do think Leicester will be under strength as well. Just they have that League Cup on Tuesday night against Aston Villa. And Vardy looks like after last night that he'll miss that. So Leicester did go with a B team in the last round, but it didn't matter. And they had an easy game against Wigan. So we'll see team news, but I'd be looking to side with Brentford if team news is what I expect.
What are you expecting here, Dan?
Well, I've tipped Leicester outright, but I have to say, I think this is a tough draw. And I'm going to go for Brentford on value grounds. And I do think Leicester will make changes. And I think the big reason is because they've got Aston Villa in the second leg of the League Cup semi-final next week. And it's finally balanced, isn't it? 1-1 after the first leg. I think he'll be hell-bent, Rodgers, on putting a stronger team out as possible for that game. So if he's going to make changes, going to be here. Vardy, very unlikely to play, isn't he, after he got his muscle injury last...
Not as bad as first
not
suspected,
as bad as first suspected.
It
doesn't look like he's going to be out for weeks, but I'd be shocked if he appeared at Griffin Park. And Brentford probably got the best front three, I would argue, in the Championship. The BMW of Saïd Benrahma, Brian Mbeumo and Ollie Watkins have been fantastic for them. And I just think that they play some of the best football in the Championship. Going to give Leicester a big test, and I'd say, take a chance on them winning the game.
All three of the lads like Brentford in that one. Let's see what they think of the 5:30 game, which is on BBC. Oh, no, it's on BT Sport 1 on Saturday. It's Hull City versus Chelsea. Jason, give us a show of betting and then your opinion on how it'll finish.
Yeah, we've Hull 11-2, the draw 7-2, and Chelsea 4-9. I'd be going for the Chelsea win here. They did put out almost the B team in the last round at home against Forest, but the Chelsea B team is actually probably as good as a top half Premier League team, to be honest. Hull made 8 changes in the last round against Rotherham, and they had to take the big men off the bench to actually get the result to get through. And Hull, again, are probably looking at trying to get into the playoff, and they have a big game midweek as well at home to Huddersfield. And if they win that, they'd be 4 points off the playoff. So they made changes the last round. I think Hull will make changes again for this. And the Chelsea weakened side is still better, much better than what a Hull weakened side would be. So I'd be siding with Chelsea win. If you're looking for a goal scorer, I'd go with Hudson-Odoi. Injured at the start of the season, came back, got injured again in November, but started a cup game against Forest, and he's been in the side since, partly helped with Pulisic being injured, but he's got a couple of goals in those 4 games. So there's 6-1 out there. I'd imagine Abraham isn't going to be on the pitch, so there's going to be more of a spread of goals among that Chelsea team. So I'd be looking at Hudson-Odoi at 6-1.
Excellent. You always say if you're looking for a goal scorer, just assume we are, Jason. Your first scorer tips are always very valued. I'll tell you one thing quickly, Dan, before we give you verdicts on this, and it pertains to the Brentford game as well. Going into fourth round weekend, you can often, a couple of days beforehand, look at games and think, well, that's if they don't sell anyone. But no one's buying anyone. It's the quietest transfer window I've ever known.
You might find there's a sudden rush of activity, the last couple of days before that. But you would think that, certainly teams are not going to be losing their key men, before this, for fourth round weekend. This game, I'm not so sure Hull will make loads of changes. They've got a sellout crowd, for the game. The ground's been sort of like less than half full most of the season. So there's a chance for them to sort of showcase themselves. They're 7 points off the playoffs, in the Championship. So they lost the last 2 games. I'm not sure how, whether they're going to be so worried about the midweek league fixtures as they might have been if they'd have won those 2 games. I still think Chelsea would be comfortable, though. As has been mentioned, I think their second string, if they do choose to field some of them, are almost as strong as their first team. And nice and comfy winners, a similar sort of fixture. They were at home in the last round, but they won 2-0 at home to Forest. They were 2-0 up inside the first 33 minutes. The threat from Hull is going to come probably from Jared Bowen, who's been fantastic this season. 16 goals and 5 assists. He's been involved in 21 of their 40 league goals, so he's huge for them. But I think the speculation might have got to him a little bit. He's only got 1 goal in his last 7 games. So if he's off the ball, can't see where the whole threat's going to come from. Chelsea double result for me.
Liam?
Yeah, I go for Chelsea win as well. Typically better away from Stamford Bridge this season. But to get a bit more value, Chelsea to win in under 3.5 goals, 13-10. I think if you ever needed proof that Chelsea kind of lack killer instinct in the final third, it was in that 2-2 draw with Arsenal when they were playing against 10 men, and they should have killed the game. If they didn't, they let Arsenal back into the game twice. And I think that just, I actually think they failed. They had 19 shots in that game, which is quite a significant amount, failed to make the most of that. And it just shows, I think there's too much pressure really on Tammy Abraham to lead that line by himself this season. He's been brilliant, but on a young player who's not got a massive amount of Premier League experience, that is a lot of pressure. So I think they'll get the job done, but they're unlikely to completely blow away Hull, who've actually been a bit shot shy themselves. They've only scored once in their last three league games, so I think it'd be a tight one and I'd edge towards Chelsea.
What price is that? Chelsea in under 3.5?
13-10.
13-10, that sounds good. Okay, the two live Sunday ties. We start at 1 p.m. with Manchester City versus Fulham. It's on BBC One, and Man City are going to be ridiculously short here. Jason?
Yeah, Man City 1-12, the draw 9-1, and Fulham 20-1.
Dan, how do we wring some value out of this game?
Not easily. I think one of the big issues as well is that even if you're looking for City to rest a few players and for the game to be more competitive, I don't think that's going to happen because, well, they might rest a few players, but I think Fulham will probably rest more. Because they are in the thick of that promotion race now, the way that, you know, what's been happening to West Brom and Leeds, and they've got a midweek game as well. I'm not sure off the top of my head who it's against, but whoever it's against, you know, they're going to be prioritising that over the game at the Etihad. So, and City, you can probably expect Aguero was on the bench at Bramall Lane, so was Bernardo Silva and Gundogan, so that those are the three players you'd expect to come in and start. Fulham definitely not going to have Mitrovic. He's been out injured for the last couple of weeks.
Knockhart didn't play at Charlton as well, was that?
Knockhart, I'm not sure if he was injured or not. You would imagine he would have played if he was fit. So, I mean, that would be... And in any case, like I say, I just think they're big hitters. They are likely to rest. Mitrovic would have been their one hope of unsettling a Man City defence that can be, as was seen against Crystal Palace, can be, you know, threatened with set pieces, balls into the box. But he's not there, so... Can't see Fulham scoring, so that leads me on to, I'll go over a correct score, Man City 3-0, you know, play it that way.
What do you fancy, Flinner?
Betting angle I'd go for is the first half to be the highest scoring at 23-10. Obviously, it's a complete mismatch, game of men against boys, really, I think. And as Dan says, Fulham will be focusing on the league as well. I think City will be prioritising that League Cup semi-final second leg next week, so it's in their best interest to get the game done and dusted as soon as they can, so maybe introduce some younger players into the second half. And as I say, I want to get the job done early. And no club, actually, in the Premier League betters their tally of 30 first half goals in the league this season, although Liverpool are on 29 before the Wolves game. But yeah, so first half to be the highest scoring.
Jason, when you get what looks like a mismatch in terms of the win-draw-win odds, where do punters tend to focus their bets?
It's a very good question. So you'll either see them trying to double up and find a bit of value. They might still back it in an Aka, just throw it in because it's City. But we generally, there's same game multis as well, and shots on targets become quite popular in the last couple of months as well. So if you're looking at this really one-sided game, they're starting to look at, okay, if Aguero's on the pitch, what is he for, two shots, three shots on target kind of thing is where we'd be seeing bets going.
Are they're big now, those kind of ops-related markets, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they've only been recently introduced, but we can see them starting to take a bit more of a market share. You know, we always try to offer a fair price and price them in-house. But like if you're a butcher and there's a butcher down the road, you want to know what he's selling his steak for. And we have seen some prices that we thought weren't very competitive. But we generally always try to price everything up at a fair price and get it on site. And
if I might just point out something I wrote about in my column, there is a bookmaker that only bets these overs rather than unders. And that to me is completely unacceptable. It's just nonsense. You can't bet one side of a two-sided book. But anyway, I've got that off my chest.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from. But in terms of this match, if you were looking for a bet, I'd point you towards maybe both teams to score. It's 10-11. Man City haven't kept a clean sheet in 18 of their last 21 games. And if you look in the last round, the front three that started was Aguero, Foden and Bernardo Silva. Bernardo Silva didn't play midweek against Sheffield United. So I think he'll start this weekend. I think he'll start in the front three. So you get about 11-2 on him. And like I said, the specials team here, I keep harping on about it, but they latched on to what Pep said during the week, who's the best penalty taker in the club, Ederson. So we've priced up Man City's next penalty. Aguero 1-3, Gundogan 7-2, David Silva 8-1, De Bruyne 14-1. We threw Ederson in at 66s. There was calls from the fans in the stadium from to take a penalty there about 2 years ago. Pep didn't give him permission to go up and take it. Jesus ended up taking it and missing it. But Ederson tweeted afterwards saying he's brilliant at penalties. Either with power or with technique, he can do both. So we'll see what happens. Maybe if the Warriors are 4-0 up at the weekend, he might get a might get one.
So you might want a cheeky little bet on Edison for last goal there, or indeed any time. That's really interesting. Okay, 5 p.m. on Sunday. It's also on BBC One. It's at the New Meadow, Shrewsbury versus Liverpool. Another one where it's going to be pretty one-sided as far as the betting goes, Jason.
Yeah, we've Shrewsbury 11-2, the draw 7-2, and Liverpool 4-11. You know, it depends on what team to put out. We're kind of estimating there that they will do similar to what they did in the last round, but still be sprinkling of experienced players in there. I think Fabinho might get a run, depending on what he plays against Wolves tonight, but Fabinho and Lallana might be two that would be in that starting 11.
Liam, I don't normally get excited by 4-11 shots, but I kind of am.
Yeah, I think that's obviously based on the potential team that Klopp's going to put out. I think that I'd be very surprised if it was a strong side. I think not only the game, but the competition. The FA Cup comes third in the sort of list of priorities for Liverpool this season. Premier League getting that mathematically secured will obviously be a priority. And then the Champions League, I think they'll want to have a good run at. So I think we'll probably see quite a few of Liverpool's youngsters play in this game. But as we've seen, you know, Liverpool's youngsters can do a job. We saw them against Everton. I'd be especially surprised if there weren't quite big changes to the front three. And one player I like the look of, he is the new signing Minamino to score first at 5-1. Whether he comes into the side in midfield or on the flank, I think he could be a bit of a danger. He managed one shot in first game against Everton in the FA Cup. He was playing from midfield in that game, but he looked pretty lively in that fixture, and he scored 5 goals in 14 appearances from midfield for Salzburg this season before his transfer to Liverpool. So I think he could be a bit of value at 5-1.
Jason, how much is that 4-11 governed by team news? I mean, what could it be as short as, and what could it drift to depending on what on the 11 that Klopp goes with?
Yeah, great question. Mark actually was asking me for views on how we price up cup games, and that is one factor that you have to take into consideration and you're looking at home advantage. If Liverpool went full strength, I mean, you're talking 1-10 or shorter. It was really interesting to drift the team that he put out against Everton. I thought it drifted too far personally. So if he did go with the kids, it'll probably go off a bit bigger than that, but I wouldn't say much bigger than that. But if it was full strength Liverpool, you're talking 1-10 or shorter.
But you might get 4-7 twos on, something like that.
Yeah, but it would have to be really, again, similar to what we said with Chelsea. The Liverpool B team, even if he just sprinkles a couple of the not the first 11, but the first team squad into it, then it's gonna stay around that price, I reckon. And that's the angle I'm looking for. I don't think Salah's going to be on the pitch. Milner is injured, so who's going to take a penalty if they get one? We kind of put the heads together here. I went with Lallana at 10-1. He's only taken one penalty in his whole career. And that was actually an England friendly against Spain a couple of years ago, and he actually scored it. But he also has the record of being involved in the most penalty shootouts for a Liverpool player, and he actually scored in 6 of the 7 penalty shootouts. So it's either Lallana might get it, or Griffin, the office said Fabinho's penalty record's phenomenal. I think he scored 19 out of 21 in his career. So I'll have a look and see if one or if both start. I'd probably Dutch him as a first goal scorer bet. Just for Liverpool fans as well, the march to the title, but you'd still want to back them for something. We have them up at 8-11 to get to 100 points. The line is about 101 points at the moment. We have them 3-1 to beat Arsenal's 49 game unbeaten record, or 9-2 to go unbeaten in the remainder of the season as well.
Good stuff. That's very interesting. And that research on Lallana is very, very impressive. Dan, have you got a bet for us here?
I'm going to go with a Liverpool, a low scoring win. So I'll go Liverpool to win under 3.5 goals. The reason, I'll be very surprised if any player that starts at Wolves is starting against Shrewsbury. I do think that it's not just the two-folded here. I think partly you'll want to rest players, but also I think he'll trust the players that played so well against Everton. I mean, after they've played so well in a game like that, it would be a bit of a vote of no confidence, wouldn't it, to then not trust them to play against Shrewsbury. So I think he'll do that. I think it could be tricky for him in a way, because you know the conditions. You're not playing at Anfield. You're playing on a pitch that's not going to necessarily be, what they're used to playing on at Shrewsbury. And Shrewsbury don't give a lot of goals away as well. You look at, got the 8th best defensive record in League One. The downside for Shrewsbury is they don't score a lot of goals either. They've got second worst attack in League One. Top scorer is Jason Cummins, who's only got 4 goals in the league this season. You just think that Liverpool, probably get over the line here. But, Shrewsbury, I don't think they're going to be embarrassed.
What about I'm not sure the Shrewsbury groundsman's going to like you there. What's wrong with that pitch?
Have
you seen it?
I think if you... Yes, I've seen the pitch probably actually, I'm saying last season now. I'm thinking back to the game when they played West Ham, and they actually took West Ham to a replay. So there's a little bit of a form line as well there that shows they can cause problems for top-flight teams.
We take it for granted now that these pitches are going to be like billiards tables. But did you see the Brighton one the other week? They had a game, and admittedly it was chucking it down. But that's I was thinking to myself, wow, that's the first time I've seen a sort of scrubby Premier League pitch in absolutely ages. That won't help you to have any winning bets, but there you go, I said it. Right then, okay, we have got one more live game to preview and we'll do that next.
Everything is better when it's bigger. Paddy Power's same game multi allows you to combine a number of selections from a single match into one big bet. Check out the same game multi tab and get building your bet. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. It's Bruce Millington, Dan Charles, Liam Flynn and Paddy Power's Jason Murphy. Let's look ahead to the Monday live FA Cup tie. It takes place at Dean Court at 8 o'clock. It's on BT Sport and it's Bournemouth versus Arsenal. Jason, take it away with a show of betting and then tell us where you think the best value bets may lie.
Yeah, we've Bournemouth 3-1, the draw 11-4 and Arsenal 8-11. And I'll be siding with Arsenal at the 8-11 here. Bournemouth made changes in the last round against Luton. Luton obviously struggling in the Championship and had an easy 4-0 win. And I think Bournemouth will have to make changes again. Anyone that's had a niggly injury or is a bit of a doubt, there's no point in anyhow putting them out for this game. And they had a massive win against Brighton there on Tuesday night, which is hopefully gives a bit of life back into the club now and maybe they can kick on from there. Whereas Arsenal, I think they're going to go for it. Arteta, he's won it twice as a player. He's only new in the door. He'd love to win a cup. And again, similar to what we've said previously, I think the Arsenal midfield and the front players that will get on the pitch will be, there won't be too much difference, even if he is trying to change it up a bit. There's no Aubameyang, so for me, I'm going to look for value and I'm going to go with Martinelli. We've seen him do it in cup competitions this season, 4 in the League Cup, 3 in the Europa League already. And he scored in his last two Premier League games as well. He's got 3 in the Premier League this season. That's a total of 10 goals for Arsenal this season. He's the first teenager to score 10 in the season since Nicolas Anelka for the club.
What do you think of this kid, Jason? I've got a feeling he could go all the way, don't you?
Yeah, no, when I've seen bits of him in... Like, I'll be honest with you, I've seen bits of the highlights in the Europa League and the League Cup, but you have to, when he's scoring that, that's a player who can take a chance when he gets one. I'm really excited about him. I think he's a great signing. And like I say, with no Aubameyang on the pitch, we've shortened his price a bit, but there's still 6-1 out there. That'd be, he's second in the betting behind Lacazette, first goal scorer. I'd have a look at the 6-1, provided he starts the game.
Dan, who do you like in this?
I like Arsenal as well. I mean, on the Martinelli conversation, his composure impresses me. I think a lot of time, the top players, it's when you've got time to think about a chance. You think about that game against Arsenal. He had the whole length of field to run, didn't he? You know, plenty of time to think about the importance of the moment and, you know, just show great technique and bottle, really, to slide it in the way he did. He impresses me greatly. I think on the other side of it, I don't think Arsenal are going to be up against a full-strength Bournemouth side. They're playing on the Monday. They're going to be thinking already, I think, ahead to their home to Aston Villa on the weekend. I'll be surprised if Eddie Howe picks anybody that's sort of carrying any niggles, you know, when he's got such a huge game.
And he's got previous for absolutely clearing the decks.
He has,
hasn't
he? Yeah. He went a little bit, he didn't go totally wholesale changes against Luton. He sort of made, you know, a bit half and half. But I think at the time, they've been on such a bad run. He wanted a win, you know, to get them up and running. I'm not sure there'll be any stronger, you know, selection this time. My only worry with Arsenal would be, you know, the defence. I mean, but you've got a chance, I suppose. Holding will probably play. He came in and did better at Chelsea. Maybe if Socrates is over his illness, he could come in as well. Because you look at, I mean, Luiz will be suspended, which is probably a good thing. Mustafi, you know, you could probably could do with getting him out the side as well, really, and going with Holding and Socrates. But that's my only worry with Arsenal is the defence. But I fancy him to win.
Who do you fancy, Liam?
Yes, Arsenal as well. Yeah, put the most spirited performance I've seen all season in the 2-2 draw with Chelsea. I just think the lazier members of the squad, you look at the likes of Ozil, for example, they just could learn a thing or two from Martinelli and Saka as well, who's at work rate, was excellent in that one. I can't identify kind of a more confident and prolific 18-year-old in Europe at the moment than Martinelli. I think it's probably benefited him coming in from South America. Maybe there wasn't as much known about him when he came to the Premier League as, say, a young player across Europe, so he didn't have that pressure, but he's just delivered time and time again. So he'd be looking to go scorer market, definitely. Bournemouth obviously have other priorities. As we say, the relegation, Premier League is going to come top priority for them, whereas with Arsenal, I think it's kind of in the position now where you're looking Europa League and FA Cup is going to be the sort of the best chance for success this season.
Do you feel good as an Arsenal fan about what the early signs are with Arteta?
I do, yeah. I think there's a long way to go still, but I think in terms of performances and more so the attitude, I think, of the younger players, that's something that Arteta has really drilled into these players, Martinelli and Saka in particular. And I think also it's just a bit of a wake-up call to these lazier members that Arteta is probably a bit more ruthless than Emery in the sense that if you're not going to perform, if you're not going to make those runs, then you're not going to be playing. And I like to think that Arsenal are going in the right direction now. As I say, Premier League is kind of a lost cause this season, but FA Cup and Europa League will be the priorities.
Dan, I mean, everyone's chimed in with Arsenal, but yeah. for this particular game, but just for the rest of the season, I get that Arteta has got them looking more professional, yeah. more up for it. My worry with them would be, I just don't think the squad's that good.
Yeah. No, and that defence is really the area, isn't it? And the midfield as well, you still look at the midfield and Xhaka and Torreira, is that really a top six midfield? I mean, I think it's a long way from that, but... No, that's where, I mean, maybe they'll improve it, you know, before the transfer window shuts. But one thing on Bournemouth as well, you mentioned about Eddie Howe not being, you know, showing a great deal of respect to the cup with his team selections. It goes back a lot longer than that because they've reached the fifth round just once in the last 30 years, Bournemouth. So their record in
yeah,
the
but
cup
to be is, fair, for the first 25 of them, they were...
Yeah. And 30 years ago, that was when they had that run to the... Harry Redknapp, wasn't it? They got a replay against Manchester United, I think.
So. Absolutely, blimey, those were the days. Just a quick one on Arsenal from you, Jason. Have you kind of ticked their rating up a little bit since Arteta got his feet in, under the door?
Yeah, we did, and we've improved it since then as well. So once he came in with the managerial change, we thought that was a step in the right direction. And I like what he's done. Like, you know, you can see a process, you can see he's thinking, and even his interviews are really good as well. What he said at halftime, he said the players were listening. Like, you know, David Luiz took a red card after a mistake by Mustafi, and you know, Arteta says, look, when a lad takes a red card like that, you have to stand up and pay him back by, you know, battling out for the rest of the game, which they did. But it's what I liked as well was against the Leeds game, like, you know, they got schooled by Leeds in the first half, but I can't say exactly what changes he's made, but he made definitely tactical changes at halftime and Arsenal were much better in the second half. So he's a man who can think on the job. He's very good in the interviews, very good experience. And like the experience he's taken from Man City as well, you know, I'd be very positive with Arsenal. Okay, give him a transfer window, maybe not this one, but in the summer to start putting in his own players as well. And like with Arsenal, the ball has been very good going forward under Wenger, very good in possession. If he can sort that defence out, then he's got a very, very good team there.
I would have thought at half-time against Leeds, you just told him to try. It was absolutely pathetic, that first half, wasn't it? Right then, lads, let's see what else you fancy. Don't give your naps away, but we've got the non-televised cup games. There's a smattering of league games. And obviously we've got Europe as well. Dan, lead on.
Yeah, my other FA Cup fancy would be Millwall, actually, home to Sheffield United. They've reached the quarterfinals twice in the last 3 years.
I read somewhere that this century, there's something they've won something like the fourth or fifth most FA Cup ties. Because they got to the semis twice, haven't they?
Yeah, and I suppose their run to the final when they...
Sorry, the final they got to,
would have
been
just about
did,
in, you know, since the you know, after the millennium as well. So, no, and I mean, in recent years as well, they had that run a couple of years ago where they beat Bournemouth, Watford and Leicester all at home, three Premier League teams. Last year they beat Everton, didn't they, in the round of 16, I think it was... lost on penalties to Brighton. I mean, that I mentioned earlier, that David Martin goalkeeper mistake cost them getting to the semi-finals there. So it's a tough... Everybody talks lazily about grounds that are a tough place.
Oh, no,
to
that,
go,
is, that is. That's the,
that is. That is yeah, a real tough place to go. And Sheffield United, at the moment, I don't think he is ready to play his strongest 11. He's absolutely, completely focused on them getting 40 points. Chris Wilder, maybe later in the competition, he'll change his view on that. But they've had a hard game against Manchester City in the week. I think he'll rest the players. And the second string, quite frankly, are not that good. You know, they lost home to Barnet in the third round last season, 1-0. And scraped a 2-1 victory at home to Fylde at the same level, National League level, this season. If they go with a similar team at Millwall, I can see them getting beat.
Okay. Anything else, or are you going to save it for the
nap? No, I've got one more. There's one championship game going on, Stoke at home to Swansea. I think Swansea are overpriced at 5-2. Stoke did have that a bit of a smash and grab 1-0 win at West Brom, and they got ahead early and defended well against the West Brom team that was had Grady Diangana injured, and they were not at their best West Brom, but they're still near the bottom of the table. And Swansea, I think, you know, the players they've got in recently, Conor Gallagher on loan from Chelsea, was doing great at Charlton. Rhian Brewster from Liverpool is a great loan signing, scored an excellent goal on his debut for Swansea in a 2-1 win against Wigan. I just think that, you know, they're going to have a good end to the season now, Swansea, and that price to win at Stoke, I think, is too big.
You talk about Millwall being a hard game to go as a player. You want to try being a fan. It's actually 35 years ago, 1985, I went and watched Palace at the Old Den. Did you ever go to the Old Den?
I did,
Oh, my goodness, me. Honestly, Liam, you weren't even born then, mate. You don't want to know about it. It was awful. Yeah. We were 1-0 up and then we conceded in the last minute and I thought, well, at least that'll calm the Millwall fans. Not a bit of it. You had to go through this tiny little doorway to get out of the ground and then you go down these stairs and then there's a gate. And as we got to the gate, there looked like 200 absolute lunatics rattling the gate. Yeah. Come on, come on. Anyway, the police finally cleared them and you had to go down this walkway between some houses and the demolished dog track, which was just basically bricks. Yeah. And literally bricks were raining down on us, okay? Mm. And I said to this policeman, I said, what am I going to do? And he goes, well, just go like that, put your arms over your head and run. And that's what you had to do. It's unbelievable. And I said then, I'm never, ever going to watch another football match involving Millwall, and I never have. Who do you fancy, Liam?
Well, in terms of another fourth round fancy, maybe Portsmouth to beat Barnsley. I mean, they've just come out of nowhere, really, as serious promotion contenders in League One this season. Won their last five games in all competitions. I really like the setup of Harness and Curtis on either flank. Curtis, in particular, has been in good goal scoring form. John Marcus has been getting in the goals as well. So they're a really exciting team to watch going forwards. Barnsley lost their last two fixtures without scoring. They're in the midst of a relegation battle, probably bigger fish to fry than this game in a way to Portsmouth. I'd fancy Pompey in that one. In terms of Europe, the two big games in Italy this week, I've got strong fancies in both of them. Lazio to beat Roma. Both clubs from the capital have had really good seasons, but I think Lazio are the best team in Rome at the moment. I think they can prove that on a run of 11 consecutive wins in all competitions, 14 unbeaten, have the Serie A's top goalscorer in Ciro Immobile, and they're the only team to beat Juventus in all competitions this season. They've beaten them twice. So I just really, really like the look of them. They've been absolutely superb. Roma lost to Juventus in the Coppa Italia, which this week, so and they've obviously had that game. Lazio have had a bit more rest, so I think that enhances the argument against them. And the other big Serie A fixture, Juventus against Napoli, and I think Juventus to win that one as well. Both these at odds against, might want them in a double or something. Two sides gone completely different directions since last season. Juve lost only twice in all competitions, as I say, against Lazio. Napoli just been hideous this season. They're really struggled to make amends, I think, as well, for the Dries Mertens not scoring goals. He's been linked to moves to quite a few Premier League clubs, although this week he said he wants to do a contract with Napoli, but the golfing class is far bigger than the odds suggest.
Lovely. Jason, what have you got for us?
Yeah, it's not on my list, but Liam is absolutely spot on everything you said about Lazio there. I'd 100% echo that. For me, I just jump back to the FA Cup and I'm going to tip up Southampton as a match bet and also as an anti-post bet. The bet, Huddersfield 2-0 in the last round, and again, it was a weaker side that to put out, but I liked the 11 to put out. Danny Ings didn't play on Tuesday night of this week, so I think he could start against Spurs. Also, Southampton had an extra day's rest, whereas, yes, Tottenham and Mourinho will want to win this cup, but Mourinho does not always get what he wants. And Tottenham are very tired. They were cramping up last night against Norwich, and Southampton already bet them on New Year's Day as well, and there's no Kane either for Spurs. So Southampton at 17-10, I think, is a great bet. We have them at 66s. I don't think, you know, like I said, City or Liverpool are going to win this FA Cup is what I think. But if Southampton got a favourable draw, and if they win this game, you know, that's the third favourite in the betting gone over it. So I think Southampton at 66s each way, they're already safe in the Premier League. I don't think they're going to challenge for top four, maybe top six. I just think they're a great value at 66s, given the fact that I really fancy them to beat Spurs this weekend.
Well, I mean, I tell you what, I was there on Tuesday night watching in disbelief. I mean, we were poor, but Southampton were absolutely brilliant. They completely wiped the floor with us for 90 minutes. They started off purposefully and did not let up. It was a 2-0 hammering. I was so impressed. So I am obliged to have a bit of that 66s. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
I suspect my nap is going to get stolen, but I'll sit last anyway because I'm on the naughty step after last week. That let everyone down. What are you going to go for?
I'm going to go for Newport away to Leighton Orient in League Two. Oh, that's not stolen that. I mean, the markets are struggling to find a favourite here. I think Newport are 11th and pushing for the playoffs. Deserve to be quite strong favourites against Leighton Orient, who are 19th, and a little bit of a relegation battle. Newport won the last three games to bring themselves, you know, into contention to reach the playoffs. Rely a lot on Jamil Matt and Poré Gamond, who are their main strikers. They were both on target in a 2-1 win at Scunthorpe last away game. Last home game, they won 2-0 at Swindon, who are top of the league. So they're on great form. had a free week as well. Orient haven't had a free week. Drew 1-1 at home to Northampton on Tuesday. No home win in 9, that means. And they've had one win overall in 17. So Newport for me.
Liam?
I'm sure I've not stolen your one. Freiburg to beat Paderborn in the Bundesliga. This price just jumped out to me. 8-11, Freiburg to win at home to the bottom side of the Bundesliga. Freiburg, absolutely superb season. I think pretty sure we'll see them in Europa League next term. They returned after the winter break with a 2-0 win over Mainz. Some excellent attacking options. Nils Pettersson is doing particularly well. Paderborn just been really struggling this season. Rock bottom with 3 wins from 18 games. So Freiburg to beat Paderborn at home at 8-11 is a good price.
Jason, what have you got?
Very good. I'm going to go with Espanyol at home to Athletic Bilbao. It's 6-4 Espanyol. 2 big changes in the last month for Espanyol. They've changed manager and they got in Alvarado. He came in at Alaves in the similar situation where Alaves were in the relegation zone just after Christmas. Completely transformed the club, turned them around, made them really difficult to beat, sorted out the defence. And the big plus is they got Raul de Thomas off Benfica. De Thomas scored a lot of goals for Valenco last season, couldn't keep them up in the Liga. But he scored last week, got the winner away at the Villarreal, scored in the Cup the week before. So I think they're going to be sorted out defensively. They're going to be sorted out going forward. They are bottom of the league, but Espanyol are heading in the right direction. Whereas Bilbao, they haven't won in 5 games, drawn 4 of the last 5. So I just think 6-4 Espanyol is a very good bet.
You were nodding away there, Liam, weren't you?
Yeah.
Endorse that?
I completely agree, definitely.
What are Espanyol's nickname?
Espanyol's nickname.
Blue Badges.
Yeah, well done. I'm going to go Arsenal, quite simple, for the reasons that you've all outlined. So we've got Newport, we've got Freiburg, we've got Espanyol, and we've got Arsenal. And Jason, will you be enhancing that fourfold for us?
Oh, 100% we will. There's a couple of odds on, a couple of odds against. It's going to be about maybe 16-1, but we'll have a look at it and we'll definitely boost it bigger than that.
Lovely. So if you fancy that, you go on to Paddy Power, you go on to football, you go on to specials, and the Postcast Acca will be on there. Thank you very much for doing that, Jason. Thanks, Dan, Liam. Thank you, Jason. Great stuff. Good luck with your bets. Don't forget, bet responsibly at all times. Don't forget also, we're back next Thursday with another Racing Post football postcard.
Friends, or maybe more, earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power, thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18+, begambleaware.org.